Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open them to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, and I want to begin reading with verse 15 and read through the end of chapter 2. I have titled the message for this morning, Justification. Reading from Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, these final verses of this chapter bring a close to Paul's historical argument, his personal account of his being called to be an apostle and the message that God gave him to proclaim. This leads then to the next section of this letter, the theological part, which we're going to deal with as we get into chapters 3 and 4. Now, it's difficult to determine whether in these verses Paul was continuing to give the account of the conversation that he had with Paul that we look at in verses 11 through 14, or now he is just simply speaking to the churches there in Galatia. Well, I believe verse 15 seems to indicate or to imply that Paul is still giving the account of the conversation that he had with the apostle Peter. And he talks about something that he and Peter both had in common. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, the ESV says we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. So you notice Paul says we ourselves. I believe that he is including Peter in the we there. We, Peter, you and I. We have something in common. We share the same birthright. We are Jews by nature. We are physical descendants of Abraham. We're not Gentiles, and we're not pagans. Well, whoever Paul is speaking to in these verses, I don't think it really makes a whole lot of difference who he's speaking to. The important thing is that he has come in now to the heart of this letter. He's coming to the most important part of the letter that he wrote to the Galatians. He's coming to the real reason why he wrote this letter. In fact, verse 16, I believe, is the most important verse in this letter. For the first time, an important word is being mentioned. It is a word that, well, it is central to a person's understanding of what Christianity really is. What it means to be a Christian. And the important word that we see in verse 16 is the word justification. And you will notice as you look at verse 16 that the word justification or justified is used in some form three times. And I believe that just adds the emphasis that Paul is making to how important justification is. So what I want to do this morning is I want to focus on this important doctrine, this important word, this important truth. And I've divided these verses simply into two parts, and they both revolve around this word, justification. We're going to see, first of all, justification defined, and that will be in verses 15 and 16. And then we're going to see justification defended, and that will be in verses 17 through 21. So just so you'll know up front where I'm going, I'm just going to focus on the first part this morning, and that is justification defined. Again, I want to read then verses 15 and 16. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now you'll notice that Paul begins his argument. He begins to define what justification is by, first of all, by identifying himself in verse 15 with his fellow Jews, which includes Peter and also Barnabas. Now, when you look at verse 15, it's kind of tricky. It's kind of difficult to try to understand just what is Paul saying here. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. When you first read that, it almost sounds like Paul is putting down the Gentiles and exalting the Jews. That somehow he is making the claim that, well, we're better. We Jews are better than the Gentiles. You know, they're sinners, but we're not on the same level with them. You know, we're free from sin, where they're those sinful Gentiles. Well, you might be tempted to read it that way, but rest assured that's not what Paul intends. I know that's not what Paul intends. He's not lifting up the Jews and putting down the Gentiles. He's not saying we Jews, we can live apart from sin, but the Gentiles cannot. Now, one reason that we can say for sure that's not what Paul means is, you know, that on Sunday evenings we've been going through the book of Romans, another letter that the apostle Paul wrote. And in his letter to the Romans, he starts out in the first three chapters by pointing out that all the world, Jew and Gentile, that we all are in sin, that all the world needs a Savior. In fact, let me just go back here. If you want to turn back with me, you can. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3, and I want you to notice what Paul says in verses 9 through 12. Now, remember, the reason I'm bringing this up is so that we will not be tempted to think that Paul is exalting the Jews and putting down the Gentiles. Listen to what he said to the church at Rome in chapter 3 and in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Meaning, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both, now hear this, Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And he goes on just to emphasize, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Do you get the point? Paul clearly is letting his readers know that whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, you're under sin. You're not righteous. No one, no Jew, no Gentile, seeks God. None are righteous. So we know that Paul here in Galatians, well, he's not putting down the Gentiles and lifting up the Jews. What he's doing in these verses, I think, is he's just showing that the Jews were privileged. They did have a tremendous advantage. In fact, you're in Romans, just go back to the beginning of chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? What profit is there to being a Jew? Well, there's a big profit. There's a big advantage. Look at what he says in verse 2. Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Word of God was given to the Jews, but not to the Gentiles. Now, that is a tremendous advantage, a privilege that they had. Look at chapter 9 and verses 4 and 5. We looked at this not too long ago. Who are the Israelites? The physical descendants of Abraham. To whom pertaineth the adoption? There's an advantage. The glory? There's another advantage. The covenants? Another advantage. And the giving of the law? Another advantage. And the service of God? Another advantage. And the promises? Another advantage. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So we see here that Paul shows that the Jews were privileged. They did have advantages. So going back to chapter 2 of Galatians in verse 15, he's just saying that the Jews, we Jews, Peter, you're included. We had the law. We had the Word of God. The Gentiles, he says, they're just sinners. The reason he says it this way, this is where the difficulty comes in trying to interpret this, is the Gentiles did not have the law to guide them. We Jews, we have the law. The Gentiles did not have the law to guide them, to show them that they are sinners. But Paul is saying here, law or no law, people are not saved by the law. People are not saved by keeping the law. People are not saved simply because they possess the law. The law is only an advantage. The law is only beneficial if it leads a person to faith in Christ. If it functions as a schoolmaster, as Paul says in other places, that brings us to Christ. To lead us to put our faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. That's what he's talking about, I believe, here in verse 15. Yes, the Jews had the tremendous advantage of having the Word of God, of having the law of God to guide and direct them, to show them their sin, where the Gentiles did not have this privilege. But folks, just having the law in your possession doesn't save anybody. It's only an advantage if you use that law that reveals to you your sin, and that then leads you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gets to verse 16, where we get the doctrine of justification. How is a person, how is a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, whether they're Jew or whether they are Gentile, how is that guilty sinner made right, reconciled with a holy God? It is by justification. Now, saying justification isn't going far enough. We would also say it's by justification by faith. But guess what? That doesn't go far enough. We have to go even further and say it's by justification, by faith. And what's that other word that we want to add? Alone! Faith alone. Every single person here this morning, we must deal with this fact that it's justification that makes us right with God. Now, on this final Sunday of the year 2019, as this year quickly comes to a close, I want to ask you the most important question that I could ask you this morning. And that is simply this. Are you in a right relationship with God? This is what I'm asking everybody here and everybody over here. I'm asking you kids, and I'm asking you who are adults. Are you right with God? I'm not asking you if you're right with your husband or your wife. I'm not asking you if you're right with your parents or your children. I'm not asking you what the relationship between your brothers and sisters, those who are in your family. I'm not asking you what the relationship you have with your neighbor or the person that you work with or the kids, the people that you go to school with. Not saying that those are not important relationships, because they certainly are. But the most important relationship that we have, people, is the relationship that we have with God. And what I'm actually asking this morning really is simply this. Have you been justified by God, or are you still in your sins? That's the question. That's the question everybody has to be able to ask and answer this morning. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. It's what each of us have to deal with. Have you been justified by God? Or the alternative is you're still in your sin. You see, when we leave here in the next 20 minutes or so, and we walk out the doors, everybody here this morning is going to leave either being justified, being pronounced not guilty by God, in a right relationship with Him, or you're going to go through those doors, you're going to go get in your car, and you're going to go home, and you're still condemned, you're guilty, and you're under God's wrath. That's it. That's the two alternatives. And that's where we will all be when we leave and we go to our homes in the next few minutes. Now, don't say, but preacher, you're not talking to me. This has nothing to do with me. Don't you understand that I became a part of this church 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? I walked down the aisle and I made a profession of faith and I was baptized. In fact, I was baptized when I was 5 years old. I've gone to church all my life. I've always tried to live by the golden rule. I try to do more good than bad. All those things are well enough. But people, those things do not justify you. There are a lot of people who are members of churches and have been their whole life. And they're still condemned, guilty, and under God's wrath. Because they've never been justified by God. So the question again that I'm asking you this morning is simply this. Have you been justified by God? Now, what is justification? If someone were to ask you this morning, say you leave here and you go somewhere today, and for some reason somebody just asked you, you better be able to answer them. Because if you can't, then you better go back and do some soul searching. Because everyone who claims to be a Christian ought to know what it means to be justified. Now, justification is a legal term. It's taken from the law court. The opposite of justification is condemnation. To condemn means to pronounce that somebody is guilty. To justify is the complete opposite of that. It means to pronounce that someone is not guilty, that they are innocent. See, in the Bible, justification refers to an act that God does. We don't justify ourselves. Oh, there's a lot of people today who are trying to justify themselves. They're trying to earn God's favor. They're trying to make it so God will, He'll declare them just because of what they do. Now, justification is according to His grace, His unmerited favor, where a sinner, a guilty sinner, is declared right, justified, not guilty in God's sight. But that's not all. He also takes that His Son has done. He gives us His perfect righteousness. See, this is the judge of all the earth making this declaration. And when God, who is the judge, the supreme judge, when God says, you now are justified in my sight. I acquit you. I pronounce that you are innocent. There's not any more comforting news that you could ever hear than to hear that God says, you're not guilty. Now, I've never had to stand in a court of law, but if I ever do, that's the words I want to hear. Kenny Hurst, I pronounce you not guilty of all charges. And that's what he did. A long time ago, he pronounced that I was not guilty. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, we could also say there's no condemnation to those who have been justified. Because it's saying exactly the same thing. Paul wrote these words almost 2,000 years ago. Now, we all know that the world in which Paul lived in so many ways is much different than the world in which you and I live today. There's a lot of differences. But there are some things that are not different, and they never will be different. There are two truths that were true in Paul's day, and they're still true today. And that is simply this. God is righteous, God is holy, God is perfect, and we are not righteous, we're not holy, and we're not perfect. That hasn't changed, and it won't change until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so the question is, how can a God who is righteous and who is holy and who is perfect, how can He have a relationship with people like us who are not holy, who are not righteous, and who are certainly not perfect? Job, in Job chapter 25 and verse 4, Bildad, who was one of the comforters of Job, he asked that question. Long before Paul writes about it here, and he simply asks, how then can man be justified with God? That's the question of all questions. How can man be justified with God? Well, Paul, I believe, answers that question in verse 16. And you'll notice there's a contrast here between the works of the law, which he mentions three times, and justification by faith, which he also mentions three times. So what does he mean in verse 16 when three times he talks about not being justified by works of the law? What are works of the law? Well, I think it just means that someone is trying to make themselves right with God by their own effort, by their own work. All the law, all the Old Testament law goes into this, and it just means a person is trying to be justified by their own effort, by their own sheer hard work. Now, if that's what you're trying to do, you got to keep this in mind. You must do everything that the law says and refrain from everything that the law forbids. That's where you stand if you're trying to justify yourself by works of the law. This is what the Judaizers, these men who had made their way into the churches of Galatia, that's basically what they're teaching. They're contradicting the message that Paul preached. They're saying, now Paul, what he said was good, but it wasn't enough. Because he didn't tell you all that you also, besides having faith, you also have to keep the law. You got to do works of the law in order to be justified. You know what? That's a lie that Satan has been proclaiming ever since man fell in the Garden of Eden. It's what man comes up with because of their own human reasoning. You know, if we who are the ones guilty, if we're going to be made right with God, then doesn't it just make sense it's going to be based on something that we have to do? That we have to contribute. We have to do something to earn back God's favor. Well, the problem is that nobody has or ever will be saved by works of the law. Because if you're going to be saved by works of the law, that means you have to perfectly keep God's law. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. You can't go a day without breaking God's law, if not outwardly, at least inwardly. And so Paul here, three times, says that no flesh is justified by works of the law. Now, the alternative to that, and I'm thankful there is an alternative to that, and that is justification by faith. Now, I want you to look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, now notice, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now you'll notice that the King James says that you're justified by faith of Christ, believing in Christ, and the faith of Christ. The ESV says you're justified by faith in Christ, by believing in Christ, and by faith in Christ. You say, preacher, what are you doing? What are you trying to confuse us? No, it's just the difference between justification by faith in Christ or the faith of Christ. You know what? It doesn't really make any difference how you want to interpret that because they're both true. First of all, a person is justified by their faith in Christ, which means Christ is the object of your faith. He is the one that you're putting your faith in. You know, a lot of people today talk about faith. You hear people talk about, you know, I'm a person of faith. I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. You know, I try to live by faith. But the problem is that they don't go far enough. They're not specific enough. Because the question that I would always ask them is, faith in what? Your faith has to have an object. But you know what? I don't think that's true with a lot of people. Their faith is in their faith. Their faith is the object of their faith, which is no faith at all. See, you have to say, my faith is in Jesus Christ. You know, if you notice, there's a lot of what they call faith-based movies that are being distributed today. Now, I've watched a few of these faith-based movies. Most of them, you know, they're made by people who claim to be Christian. And I'm not doubting whether they're saved or not. And the stories, these faith-based movies, you know, they usually have a good story. You know, they're moral. There's nothing offensive. There's nothing that you wouldn't want to see. But the movies that I've seen, and maybe you could tell me differently, but I noticed that there's one thing that's drastically missing from all these faith-based movies. Do I have your attention? Do you want to know what that is? The name of Christ. So many of the movies that I've watched, the name of Christ is never mentioned one time. Now, sometimes His name might be mentioned once or twice, just in passing, but these movies that claim to be faith-based movies so often do not have the name of Christ mentioned in these movies. And I would say, how could you have a faith-based movie if you don't talk about and mention the name of Jesus Christ? Well, Paul here states three times that his faith is in Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to go forth and let people know, yeah, I'm a person of faith, but don't leave it at that. I'm a person of faith because my faith is in Jesus Christ, who's my only hope of salvation. Now, I'm not saying that all the movies, because there are some movies that I think are true and do proclaim Christ. So I'm not putting those movies down. I'm just saying I've saw several movies and I watch them and they never talk about Christ one time. But the people say, oh, this is a Christian movie and we're faith-based and all that. And I'm thinking, then prove it to me. Talk about Christ in your movie. Equally true is the fact that also we're justified by the faith or the faithfulness of Christ. We're not saved by our works, but we are saved by the faithful living and faithful dying of Jesus Christ. It's not our work, it's His work that saves us. Well, as we close, I just want to close by calling your attention to the three statements that Paul makes in verse 16 about justification by faith. First of all, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. See, he just makes a general statement here. He says, if a man, if a woman, if any man or any woman is justified, it must be by faith. So it's just a general statement that is for anybody. But then he goes on, the next statement he makes is more personal, because he says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. So he goes from a general statement to a personal statement. Paul, if he's speaking to Peter, would say, Peter, that's how you were justified. It's how I'm justified. It's how Barnabas is justified. It's because of our faith in Christ. See, justifying faith is a personal faith. It's a personal commitment that you make to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, what I want to ask you this morning is simply this. Have you put your faith in Christ? Not in your own faith, have you put your faith in Christ? And then the third statement he makes is a universal statement. Because at the end of the verse he says, and not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's universal. It's not by works of the law. And this is a quotation from Psalm 143 and verse 2. No flesh. Regardless of your religious background, regardless of your educational status, your economic status, your social status, your ethnic status, none of that has anything to do with your justification. See, the way of justification is the same for everybody across the world. Here, in this place, any part of the world you go in today, regardless of what religion they say they practice, if they are going to be in a right relationship with God, it will not be by the works that they do. It will be done by their faith in Christ and in Christ alone. So that is where we are as we come to the close of this message. Now, there are a lot of people today that I wish had been here to hear this message. But don't just sit there and say, well, I wish such and such would have been here, or this person, they needed to hear this. Because I want you to say, you know what, I'm glad that I was here because I needed to hear this. Again, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about right now at 11:28 on Sunday morning, the last Sunday in the year 2019. Have you put your faith in Christ? Are you justified by faith and faith alone in Christ and in Christ alone? I don't want anybody to leave here this morning still in your sin, still under God's wrath.